I did tell you I was going to be talking to Ian Clayton, and Ian has written a book which is called Bringing It All Back Home. Now, when you hear a certain song, where does it take you? What do you remember? What is the secret that connects music to our lives? Well, heartwarming, moving, and laugh out loud funny. Bringing It All Back Home is the truest book you will ever find about music and the things that really matter. Let's find out why. Ian Clayton, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Gerard.
How are you?
I'm all right, thank you.
I'm delighted.
I've just come back from the Cambridge Folk Music Festival that takes place every year in Cambridge in England, and it's one of my favourites, and I've just had a lovely weekend sitting in the sunshine in the field.
Well, we'll see if we can wreck that now for you. who was playing at the Cambridge Festival this year?
Oh, there was a fantastic concert from Graham Nash, who you'll remember was in the Hollies, and then Crosby, Stills, Nash and Young. He gave a wonderful solo performance, and some brilliant music from North Africa, Tuareg Desert Blues music that was great. And Ralph McTell played, and of course he sang The Streets of London.
Of course he did. You'd often wonder, does he get sick of singing that? Do singers get sick of singing the songs that we remember them for?
I used to think about that, you know. Acapulco was one, wasn't it?
Stranger on the Shore.
And I used to think, does Acker ever get fed up of playing Strangers on the Shore? But it's such a beautiful tune that you want to hear it again.
A friend of mine was at a concert in Ireland a number of years ago, and one of the people performing was Van Morrison. And Van, you know, would be acclaimed the world over. But he arrived out on stage, and without saying a single solitary word, which is not unusual for him, he sang Brown Eyed Girl. And the crowd went ballistic.
And yeah,
when it was finished, he just said, "Now that's that out of the way." Which I thought was just fantastic. Typical Van Morrison. Anyway, we're going to bring it all back home, Ian. I told the nice people listening that this is the truest book that you will ever read about music and the things that really matter. Explain that to me.
That's what people have been saying, and the critics have been very kind to me about that book. I mean, it is a book, as you know, Jared, that's been out for a few years now. And I decided to update it. Mm-hmm. So the new edition is about to come out in the next week or two. I don't know. I sat down to write a book about what music does to us, how it appeals to us, because everybody likes music. Everybody has a certain song that means something in their life.
Mm-hmm.
And music is like, it's like a series of signposts, I think, isn't it, that takes you from one place to another. And those signposts become markers in your life. I think music, more than any other thing, it does that to us.
I was talking to...
I can't fully explain why. I think the man or woman who explains why will be, they'll be very wealthy one day, because everybody's eager to know why it is. What music does to us, what it does to us. But I think it connects to our innermost feelings and our emotions. And we laugh and we cry, and we go to weddings and funerals, and we go to birthday celebrations. And music's always there.
Hmm. I was talking to Wendy just before, just after 4 o'clock. Wendy does the introduction to the program with Dave normally, and she does with me when I'm filling in for him. And we were talking about this, and I said, music and smells are the two things that bring me back always.
Yeah, they're the great evokers.
Aren't they?
Yeah. I think anything that evokes a sensual feeling in us is got to be important. And... yeah, I agree with you. Smells, music, colour does that, and shapes do that sometimes. And walking into a room that you think you haven't been in before,
or
looking out of a window that you haven't looked out of before and noticing something, I think that's all. They're all very human things.
So you've been listening to music since you were a child, and you used to listen to that to escape when you were a child, as indeed a lot of us did. And now, as an adult, you say that you listen to music to connect. Isn't that lovely?
Well, I think connection, again, is one of the great human things. We all look for friendship. We all look for relations. I think we all look to. I don't know. We all like to feel that arm around us. Music's an arm around us at times. And this is. I'm sounding a bit serious here, Gerard.
Yeah, you are. And you're supposed to be lighthearted about this.
I know. But I think there's all of that. There's all of that going on. When I think about the earliest music I listened to, it was my grandmother, and she would be pegging washing out on the line, and she'd be there with a mouthful of pegs and sheets flapping on the washing line, and she'd be singing lullabies to herself or old folk songs or quite a lot of old music or songs. And, you know, when we set about trying to express music, we often look for the cool, don't we? We often look for the Van Morrison song or the Nick Drake song, or we look for something by the Beatles, or if we're feeling lively, something by the Rolling Stones. But actually, most of our experiences start in childhood, listening to them lullabies that grandmothers sang. And it's in that way we try to get back to the garden or to the yard where our mothers were happy.
Only, I would imagine, maybe 2 months ago, I came across a record that I remembered from my childhood. And we had it at home on a 7-inch single. And I used to play it off, and my parents used to play it. And then when I got older, I used to play it off. And it's a ditty. It's not even like, it's nothing deep that was written by Leonard Cohen or the Beatles or Van Morrison. Right? It was a little ditty sung by a show band person from Ireland. But I had it in my head all the time. And I finally found the vinyl, and I was able to convert it into an MP3, and I played it on the Irish programme that I present here on Monday evenings. I got great reaction to it, number one. But listening to it, boy, did it bring back memories.
It's true. And and again, that's attaching to the music as an evoker of feeling. We were talking the other day about what music would you choose if you were ever asked to be on Desert Island Discs.
Yes.
And I've got thousands of songs that I might like to choose from, but I sometimes come back to ones that are not so cool or show great taste. And I think one of them is a song by Dawn called "Knock Three Times on the Ceiling If You Want Me." Can you remember that one?
I can indeed. Yeah,
and I can remember that coming out of the front door of the local working men's club on Saturday nights, because all the show bands and all the club turns, working men's club turns, learned it very quickly. And that's a great memory of going past my local working men's club and hearing that blasting out of the doors of a Saturday night. There was another one as well by the New Seekers called "You Won't Find Another Fool Like Me."
Yes,
it's not a great song in terms of quality and taste, but it means something for that same reason. Yeah.
Let's see if we can, not that one, but let's see if we can take you back just a couple of years then with this one. How's that? What can you see? Go on, tell me, what can you see?
Hey, girl, what you doing down there?
Hey, girl, what you doing down there?
Isn't it amazing, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah.
An evoker.
Absolutely. And you can see...
And a connection as well, because there will be thousands of people across Europe now, right now, hearing that and thinking, yeah, I remember that one.
It's brilliant altogether. And what... Can I ask you, Ian, what your day job is, or how you've made a crust down through the years? Is it music related?
It's slightly.
Okay.
I was a building site labourer.
Okay, so you had a radio.
When I was a young man.
Right.
And I started writing stories and firing them off to BBC Radio 4 at the time. They did morning story. And some of my stories got accepted, and it gave me the confidence to think, well, perhaps I can throw away my shovel and pick up a pen. And about 35 years ago, I launched myself freelance as a writer. And I've been a jobbing writer. I've written for magazines and papers, and I've written and edited a lot of books in that time as well. More than 50 books, actually. But the one that people seem to know me for is this music book, Bringing It All Back Home. It struck a chord with people. I think it became almost a dialogue, Gerard, between the writer and the readership. People, I don't know, realised that there was something in another man's memoir that meant something to them and put a line out to them. And I get letters from all over the world about this book, and they usually say, you reminded me of something that had gone right down deep into my memory and you brought it back again. I think that's a good thing.
It's lovely. You used an expression there of putting down the shovel and picking up the pen. Mm. Does that remind you of anything? Can you hear this?
I can.
Do you know what it is?
I do. Oh, you're very quick with your finger on these digital buttons. When you
can take... It's put down your tablets and pick up your pens, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah, hot chocolate from all those years ago. Yeah, brilliant. Yeah.
And put yourself back together again is one of the lines in that song.
It is, that's right. I'll put you together again. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. And pick up
your pen. That's it. And I'll put you
together again. It was good with Errol.
Oh, wasn't he absolutely fantastic? He did some brilliant things. I worked in the old days, back in the 1980s, with a really good character in pirate radio in Ireland, and he actually had a program that he called Put Down Your Tablets and Pick Up Your Pens. And that's why when you said it to me, I got a shiver down my spine. And that man is no longer with us. But I got a shiver down my spine and heard him say, play it. But there you go. Bringing it all back home. It does create so many, listening to music creates so many memories. And what possessed you to put it all together in a book?
What? Say that again, please.
What possessed you to put it together in a book?
I'd like to give a big answer to that about the meaning of life. But actually, it was a mate of mine who was a publisher with a publishing company called Root. They're a small Northern English independent publishing house based in a terraced house in Pontefract. And we've been mates a long time. And he said to me, look, I want to start a portfolio of music books here. Will you write us a music book?
Right.
And I thought, well, I will, of course I will, but what should it be about? Should it be about bands, or should it be about songs, or should it be about the history of music? And he said to me, no, none of that. Just your personal take on music. Write something that... And I said, well, I don't think anybody's written a book like that before. And he said, well, there's the reason then. Mm. Do it, you know, write about your personal story.
Your relationship.
Yeah. Right. I mean, it became a very personal book, Gerard, eventually, because you'll know that there's a very sad part towards the end of this book. Mm. My daughter was killed in a terrible canoeing accident. Mm-hmm. And it happened while I was putting the finishing touches to this book. And it caused all sorts of emotions to come to play in my writing at the time. I struggled. I thought, have I somehow been writing about my life and my loves and my music and my family and children, and then I lose my daughter, and what can I do? And I didn't want to do it at first, but in the end, I sat down and I wrote a last chapter to the book that was about my dear daughter, who was called Billie Holiday. Mm. And she was named after my favorite singer, and that chapter then became one of the things that people talked about in the book. Here's a man who's writing something about a tragedy that's happened in his life while he was writing about his life, and that was the last chapter of the book. And over the years, as we've tried to make sense of what happened, I decided, no, I can't have that as my last chapter anymore. I need to write something positive and show that the sunshine has come out again in our family's life. Mm. So hence the new edition of Bringing It All Back Home, which is the one that you're referring to now. And there's an old new section about what we've done since then. And how a terrible thing has helped us to find a new life, because one of the things that we did was we set up a trust in her memory, and we've been having concerts every year. Okay. And giving musical instruments away to local children. Mm. I live in quite a poor town, we can say. It's a former coal mining town. Mm-hmm. And I discovered that there wasn't a lot of musical instruments being taught in my town. So I thought, well, if I can put 100 violins into my town, then perhaps some kid, my Billy played violin.
Yes.
My Billy won't recognize a talent and go on to play violin, but there might be another kid who does.
Mm.
So that's what we decided to do.
In all of this, Ian, as you took your journey from years back, I'm not just talking about since your daughter passed away, but you found yourself traveling to places like India and to the Mississippi Delta to try and understand what music does to us. What comparisons and differences did you see?
I've spent a life traveling, Gerard. That's been one of my great passions. Heather, my partner, and me met when we were kids, and we decided that we needed to find something beyond the restrictions of where we were from. We were both brought up in the working class northern English towns, and we decided there must be something beyond that invisible fence, and let's go and see what it is.
Brilliant.
So we've had a curiosity that's taken us all over the world. We went with our backpacks to India back in the 70s. We've been to America. We've been through Europe. We went to Eastern Europe before the Iron Curtain melted and did great journeys. I recall listening to gypsy musicians in Hungary, in Budapest, a long time before the Iron Curtain melted. And so all our journeys have been accompanied by musical things as well.
Good. And did you find the music had the same effect on people here and there and everywhere?
Yes,
yeah.
I did. That's a good question. That's a really good question. I think that, as I said at the beginning of this interview, music connects to our birthplace, our sense of belonging, of home, our relationships with family and beyond that with friends. Music connects to important markers in our lives as we move along through our lives. And I think it's that... That's what the book is about. I think if I had to say what the book is about beyond music, I'd say it's about friendship.
Okay.
And there isn't a person in the world who doesn't appreciate friendship.
Or need it,
yeah. Mm.
Great. Well, Ian, do you know what? No, I could chat to you for the night about this, because you're a fascinating character and the book is fascinating, and I'm looking forward to getting tucked into the new edition of it. Can I say thank you for joining us and for speaking
thank
so frankly?
Thank you for all the interviews, Gerard. I've right enjoyed myself.
Good.
My words tumble out at times, but I suppose that's the point of a good interview.
It's like what I said to Wendy earlier. My words come out too, but not always in the right order. But yours came out in the right order.
As long as it made sense.
It did indeed. Huge sense. And I know that it's available on the TRE bookstore at tre.radio. It's available through Amazon, and it's available in all good bookstores, as we Americans say sometimes.
Yes.
So listen, I wish you well with the second edition of it. Thank you for talking to me, and keep listening to that wonderful music, whatever it might be that makes you happy.
Thank you very much.
Thanks ever so much. Thank you. That was Ian Clayton, and the name of the book is Bringing It All Back Home.